this all marks the spot. Your favorite podcast.
Ever.
And because I just saw Loki in the multiverse.
Oh, okay.
Every timeline.
Every timeline.
Hello.
Cool. I'm Ellie.
I'm Jim.
And this is Hallmark's the Spot. I think Jim just said that. And we have an exciting program for you today. We're going to talk about Crashing Through the Snow.
Yes.
The one Christmas in July premiere that they had this year. And then also a couple of Good Witches. So that's
what did I not mute my mic when I was drinking?
Yeah, I could totally hear it.
Oh my God.
Should we do that again?
No, I just thought I did. Okay, I apologize.
I was like, what the heck is he doing? Why? We just started recording. You couldn't take a drink before we started.
I'm just saying, I got thirsty. I thought I hit the button. Obviously, I didn't.
So, as I said, we're going to talk about Crashing Through the Snow, which is the one premiere that they did, and a couple of the Good Witches, because we have to be ready for next week.
Which is the series premiere. The
series finale of Good Witch.
What was that?
That's to wake you up. I'm using my powers.
Oh,
okay. Because you called it a series premiere.
I meant series finale. You got to see this great new show I saw.
Good Witch. It's only been on for 7 years, and it's over. So, anyway, what do we start with?
All I have to say is I'm starting with the moment I told you Good Witch was canceled.
Okay.
And you, I think you overreacted a little.
What?
You were so shocked.
I was shocked. I mean, I thought it was a given.
Yeah.
I mean, we've watched.
Well, you thought Cedar Cove also was a given, and then they canceled that.
See, I was going to say, we haven't been watching Hallmark long enough to feel this bereft when they unexpectedly cancel a show. But you're right. I forgot about Cedar Cove.
Right.
Because that was our first series that we watched.
Let me point out, I'm less bereft than you must be about.
Well, I mean, just that, kind of like Cassie and her premonitions, Good Witch was a given in my universe.
Yep.
So I, when he said it was canceled, I, you know, went like, are you kidding me? Oh my God, I can't believe it. You should have waited till the show to tell me. But then we didn't do a show last week.
Right.
So I would have known by now, because they're touting this series finale like you wouldn't believe. So I don't know if they went and filmed another one, because I thought that last week they said two more. Like, you know, before last week's show, they said two more. And then before this week's show, they said one more. And now they're all like series finale, and they're doing that graphic that like lights up the whole screen, like the glare from the searchlights or something, like season finale. I mean, series finale. So, yeah, they're all in on the Good Witch being canceled.
Yeah.
And with about as much foresight as like the Gilmore Girls. And so I guess one of them's going to go off and write a blog, and who knows?
Maybe Netflix will pick them up.
Maybe. I doubt it. Do you think that they won't even do a Good Witch movie?
I don't know.
Because they did the movies first, right? Yeah. Many, many movies when she was married to the Grace's father, the ex-chief, the old chief of police. He didn't do anything to become an ex except get killed. So, sorry, everyone. Right. Anyway, okay, well, so you started with that, and then what's next? I'm letting you drive.
Good Witch. we started talking about it.
So I don't remember what happened last week. It kind of doesn't matter. Oh, that stupid sweetheart race.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason they did that was because Tom and Martha felt like that they were becoming too predictable.
Yeah.
And she knew what he got her for their anniversary, vice versa. And she says, no, hold on. You're never going to expect this. So she came up with this idea of a sweetheart race where they had an app and everything.
Yeah.
That was like judging who was winning. And while they were doing it, Joy and the firefighter were getting closer together. And Cassie and Sam weren't getting closer together because Sam was working late and maintaining he was okay. And Sam even slept on the couch last week, which is like a huge rift in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't it, it was Dottie who was there with Cassie or something?
I don't know, but you moved far away from the microphone.
Dottie who was there with Cassie. I don't know. There were some couples and some not couples, but Martha and Tom got the grand prize. Someone who won forfeited the grand prize. And so they're going on some dream trip to Italy or something like that. So, but that really wasn't the point. The point was that they were just moving everything a little bit further along, that Sam is, you know, ignoring that he's overdoing it and his shoulder hurts. And Cassie told him he was overdoing it and he promised he wouldn't overdo it.
And she knew he was lying.
And she knew he was lying. And Dottie Davenport and her husband are on the rocks, and you knew they were on the rocks because she kept on saying, like, don't let what happened to me happen to you and whatever.
Yeah.
There was a whole thing with the flower. Was that last week too? There have been the feuds with that other flower store, and she was, the guy came in and gave her an offer for her store now that he's been competing with her, and she's like, haha, no way.
Yes.
And there was that whole thing with the ridiculous competition to get into the Paris baking school. So Stephanie said, wait, I can still, you know, or talking to Adam, she realized she could still do this. She could still compete. So she got in her application and FedExed the lemon chiffon cake to Paris. And
I find incredibly hard to believe.
That
cake is going to make it all the way there and look like that.
It's not. It's not going to look like that. You can't like wrap that in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
It's like, and you know that you say this side up and they turn it over immediately. I can't think of anything else that was like super important that happened, except they actually showed them doing witchcraft. The Joy and Abigail lit the candles while Cassie did the locator spell, but the locator spell seemed to turn up Butkus. So, you know, then they were getting more and more frazzled. Their powers aren't working and they're fading away and they need to find this other amulet. And life is getting really
like Back to the Future. They're fading out.
they're fading out. And so this week, we'll talk about this week, right?
Yes.
Is there anything you want to say about last week?
No, I'm saving it all for this week because this week I have a lot to
say. So go ahead. Why don't you start? Or do you want me to start
with? I'm going
to
start with this overarching thing that is happening.
The red haloed moon.
That would be in a million newspapers online. When does that ever happen? Never.
Yeah. It's a weird astronomical phenomenon that I've never heard of.
Yeah. And then.
And not only that, it's not just red haloed. The whole dang moon is red.
Right.
It's not just a halo moon, that kind of looks a little reddish.
If the moon was red, wouldn't like atmospherical scientists want to know why?
Yeah, and then they would say it's particles in the atmosphere. It has particles in like that there's some sort of asteroid, you know, debris field or something, you know, going between the sun and the moon to have that happen, because that's how sunsets get their colors.
Yeah.
Right? It's the way the light is interacting with the particles as it sets. So, you know, the atmosphere. So anyway, so everybody would know about the red haloed moon, but apparently it's only happening in Middleton. And you know that if the moon turned red, like it turns orange and everybody talks about it.
Yeah.
If it turned red, people would have something to say. So meanwhile,
a lot of people would have things to say.
Right. So meanwhile, they've been building up the bags of the dirt and the amulets and the hope chest and right, all this stuff. And it's not really helping. So they decide to take all this stuff. Oh, Joy has a dream. And she dreams of the two daughters.
Uh-huh.
Patience and I want to say Constance, but I know that's not it. Yeah. Anyway, the two daughters of the three original Merriwick witches. Mm-hmm. And she realizes, like, she has a vision that they're in this room, and she wakes up in the middle of the night, moves a wardrobe all by herself.
Yeah.
And takes a hammer to the sheetrock and finds a hidden door to a secret attic room, which none of that would happen in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
That must be the lightest wardrobe on the face of the planet. And then so she says, oh, she saw the vision of one of the sisters, Patience, who was leaving, left her amulet with the sibling. And then I can't keep all of the different things in order, but basically they decide to take all of the artifacts out of the room, in that they have like these binoculars from that painting and right. And they put them all into the dining room, and they're all standing there like,
and that velvet bag and the violin and the lockbox
in the hope chest and that, the cryptex or whatever that is. Yeah. The cylinder that has like six letters to open it. Yeah. Right. So they bring it in and they don't know what to do. Meanwhile, they're having like premonitions from other people's lives. So their powers are working, but wonky. Mm-hmm. And like Joy sees that Tom is keeping a secret from Martha. And then when everybody shows up at Gray House later, Abigail is saying what Dottie is thinking to her husband.
Right.
So it's working, but it's not really working that well. However, Sam, we got to talk about this. Sam's in the hospital with Adam. Oh, no, first with Tom. So, you know, he's hiding a medical secret.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Adam, and he sees him trying to write something on the board, Tom's surgery on the board. And he says, you know, hey, don't you think you're overdoing it? And he goes, oh, Cassie's trying to tell me that, too. And he goes, well, two people who care about you tell you the same thing. What do you think about that? And he's like,
I don't know.
I was trying. And then who did he tell? Oh, he said to Tom before Adam shows up, because when I hurt my shoulder, I was trying not to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah,
I said, what?
That was outrage number one.
I said, no way. You moped for like 2 to 3 episodes about your damn shoulder.
Yeah.
And then even now you're refusing that there's anything wrong with it. So he's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
He is. Can you move a little closer to the mic? You keep rolling.
You gave me a chair with wheels.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's my fault.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So, but when Adam is Adam talking about Stephanie, we almost kissed.
Oh, we got dangerously close. We got
dangerously close.
Because that was another one of the things where, like, Abigail and what's his face were, Mr. Davenport, Mayor Davenport, were coming up with they were booking Adam's church for their wedding.
Yeah.
And like he goes, he says, oh, you could kiss the bride to be. And then she's like, you almost kissed Abigail. What's going on?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't really want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, how close did you get? Dangerously close. Yeah,
but the thing, I really don't want to talk about it, but I will.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Let me guess how you feel about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So meanwhile, she also told somebody that they almost kissed, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's like newsflash. I mean, non-newsflash.
George.
George.
Yeah.
George has been very It's almost like he's been taking on the Merriwick powers. Have you noticed? Yeah,
I know. He used to just like fix a door and stuff and then walk out. And,
fess up or put up.
Oh, I can't believe you're making those muffins again, Cassie. You know I love them. That was him. Now all of a sudden he's like the Renfield of the Merriwick clan.
That's right. He knows everything.
Yeah.
So he's, why didn't you kiss him? And, maybe you should, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, think about this, think about that. He's giving the Cassie advice.
He goes, that's the last thing, that relationship, that's the last thing I need right now.
Or maybe it's exactly what you need right now.
I go, damn, George.
Another truth bomb. Truth bombs are landing all over the place. Oh, man. So basically, was it Sam or George who called everyone together?
It was Sam.
Yeah. So called everyone.
No, it's because Cassie was fading and saying, oh, maybe we should just give up.
Yeah.
And he said, you can't give up, Cassie.
Oh, yeah. So here are the couple things that have never happened. I called
in a posse.
Yeah. Here are the things that have never happened before. George being super insightful in every conversation.
Right.
Right. Two, them calling themselves witches.
Right.
They've never done that before.
Correct.
And now it's witch. Number three, never being ambivalent about their powers. Every once in a while, they would talk about what a responsibility it was or something. They would allude to that. But it was never like, I wish I wasn't like this.
Yeah.
Or what if we just gave up? Could they even give up? So.
But the thing is, they've never said, like you said, they've never said these powers are some sort of burden.
Mm-hmm. Right. They've always used their powers for good, as was intended.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear the backstory of how they got their powers, and that'll lead me to another question I have.
Right.
So the backstory is this old woman during the Red Haloed Moon came to the original Merriwick woman, and she took her in when everybody else turned her away and gave her a place to be. And when she died or whatever, she was fading. And when she died, she put this amulet in, they were holding hands or whatever, and she put it into the Merriwick, the original one, and transferred her powers to her and her daughters.
Right.
So when they say, oh, maybe we should fade and maybe it'll let our powers go away, is that really what happens? Or would they die like that other witch?
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, what's going on with Grace? She's a Merriwick. And they're acting like they're the only three Merriwicks on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
I guess
they never talk about we need the amulet to protect Grace, too.
Right. And then I think that may have been what they were talking about when she said, maybe I should just hang it all up or whatever. And George was like, it's not just your decision or it doesn't just affect you. Wasn't it George who said that? Another insight, or maybe it was Sam, but it sounds more like the insights George has been having.
But no, that was her mother.
Oh, is her mother. Oh, that's right. So she's seeing dead people, everyone.
Yeah, that's right. She's seeing her dead parents.
And those people in the alcove. I don't think those were her parents.
Yeah, and I'm saying she's not only just seeing them, she's conversing with them.
She's talking to them and touching them. And
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she said, it's not just for you. Because what would happen to Grace? What would happen? Would they all die? I mean, they all fainted at the end here, right? So that's not a great sign.
Well, I took it to mean it's not just you, as in the power was not just for you.
True.
It's for the rest of our line, right.
Right, but if she decides to give up on the amulet, and therefore they don't get the amulet,
right?
Doesn't it mess up everybody?
It should.
And couldn't it mean that they all die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could.
So would she really be saying that? I guess she thinks it's not going to happen that they would all die, because she wouldn't want to kill her cousins and her daughter. So weird.
Yeah.
I know there's more.
Yes, a lot of it, and
almost every storyline has a ridiculousness.
Donovan is playing the violin, and he keeps hitting bad notes.
But they're written in. The thing would be a masterpiece if it weren't for these bad notes, he says.
Which I call foul on.
Because it wasn't a masterpiece?
He wasn't playing an out-of-order note or a note that doesn't belong in there. He was making a weird noise on, you know, it's not like da-da-da-da-da and you're playing the wrong.
No. It calls for him to play two notes at the same time, and they are not in harmony. And that's what he was saying.
Oh.
He's saying there's some clunkers in here, and there's a few more later. And so why would there be a C here? Why would there be an A, right? And so then they realize that there's six of them. She's holding that cryptex in her hand. There's six things.
Yeah.
And she says, wait, how many? And they figure out it opens up.
Yeah.
So what's in it when they open it up?
I don't know. That's the thing. They said they opened it, and I said, yeah, so what was in it?
Yeah, they said like, when they shake it, they don't hear anything, but that doesn't mean there's nothing in it. But then when she opened it up, they didn't say there was anything in there.
Yeah. And she opened it up violently. So whatever was in it would have come flying out.
Meanwhile, the firefighter comes over. And Joy had lied to her and said she was working on a remodel design.
Yeah.
So, of course, the girlfriend shows up with birthday cake ice cream so that they can, you know, have a little bit of a, like, break and ice cream chat, like, as all women do. And she's like, it doesn't look like you're working on this project. What's going on?
Yeah. Yep.
And then she says,
why'd you lie to me?
Well, meanwhile, let's have the fess up or... you know, put up or shut up or whatever, yeah, George. Fess up or whatever, take the heat or, and so she fesses up and says, well, I'm a witch. And her girlfriend's like, and then she says, we're all witches.
Right. Well, the thing is, okay, any sane person would have excuse themselves and left.
If
someone all of a sudden comes that you're getting close to says I'm a witch,
I would have a lot of questions.
I think they're insane and leave.
No, but I've known people who practice Wicca, and so I would be like, tell me more. Are you talking about Wicca? Are you talking about witch? Like, what powers do you have? What's the deal? Like, she asked pretty rational questions. Like, do you, you know, cast spells? Do you put hexes on people? Do you fly brooms or whatever? And so I forget what the second one was, but it was like, yes, yes. And I ended up in a tree, which, like, I've never heard any witch any fictional representation of witches where they actually flew brooms like that much. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that they ended up in a tree or whatever. But
well,
anyway,
Harry Potter,
it's all. Oh yeah. You're right. I mean, wouldn't you ask, do you play Quidditch? That's what I would say.
Wizard of Oz.
She flies a broom.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet like more serious, like a discovery of witches, like more recent serious things, not like for kids or but that's okay. Hey, it's like they said in Marvel, Endgame, where they were like, everything you know about time travel, you know, from movies, and it's all wrong or whatever. It's
well, Sam and Cassie have a talk about their drifting relationship.
The awesomest line ever. Not, well, oh, are we good? Well, we're better.
Yeah, we're better.
that doesn't, you know, fill your partner with a ton of confidence. We can
get to good. I'm going, I couldn't believe it. I'm saying, first of all, she's blowing, they're both blowing it way out of proportion. It's like, they didn't have, you know, they were.
Well, walking. He made a promise she knew he wasn't going to keep, and he didn't keep it.
I know. That's why I'm saying this whole thing, that is an overreaction just because of that.
So then he admits I think that's where he said, like, you're right, I'm overdoing it. And she said, no. And then she says, you made me a promise you weren't going to keep. And he said, yeah, you're right. And then they're going to get better. But it's not until she talks to her dead parents.
Yeah.
And they say, you have what we have. That she, I think, then is like able to, you know, Sam comes in and they hug and it felt like they were back.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, thank God she's seeing the dead parents.
And, yeah.
How come nobody else is seeing dead family?
And she keeps saying, it was said several times in this. We didn't ask, you know, the two little kids said it and then Cassie said it.
Right.
We didn't ask for this. And then the mother goes, I didn't ask for it either.
That's right.
So why don't you shape up?
Yeah. Well, and she said, like, I didn't know. You know, she gets one thing complete, which, you know, for longtime watchers of the show, everyone knows that she feels guilty that she had a premonition that something was going to happen to her parents and she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And she says to her mom and dad, when she says something about Grace and the father says, oh my God, we're going to be grandparents. So yeah. I don't know where they've been all this time on a different ethereal plane. They don't know they already have a granddaughter. They're already grandparents. But he said, oh, my God, I'm too young for that. And then she says, I'm really sorry. I had a premonition. I didn't tell you. And the mom says, no, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you what to expect. I never told you how to interpret what you were feeling as a Mary Wick. And then she said to her, how come we can't see our own futures? And the mom said, it's a gift. Don't question. You don't question a gift. You treasure it. And I felt like that really, hopefully, will put an end to this whole, oh, we didn't ask for it. Oh, it's such a responsibility. And oh, why doesn't it work the way we want it to? And, you know, like, let's just accept you have a gift. You've got all these people who wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know that you're a witch.
Yeah.
And they're here helping you with this amulet business, except for Dottie and Dominic or whoever, his name is, Davenport, they all have D names, Donovan and, and Dottie and whatever. They're like in the middle of getting a divorce. And then of course, Donovan and Abigail decide to elope.
Yeah.
Which I like what she said. So at the end, when he said, you saw what went down today, are you really asking me like to go to elope or whatever? And she was like, well, today did go down the way it went. And I am asking you, like, duh. Like, he's like, haven't you been here? And she's like, and yeah, and I'm saying that. Yeah, and so they decide they're going to elope. And we find out that Stephanie gets into the Paris thing and she's got to go to France the next day for 6 months.
That one, it's ridiculous. No competition is going to give you a day's notice that you have to show up.
Absolutely not. And not only that, she's a business owner, which is, again, right? They don't deal with that like they should, because like you said, she's a business owner. Nobody's going to give you like one day's notice to get your butt to Paris. And who's going to run the thing?
Yeah.
Who's going to take care of the books? Who has power to sign the checks or to authorize the transactions? And who knows about all the deliveries? And she doesn't have a manager in there.
Yeah.
It's her. And what's his face? Adam helped with the food truck and she still has a food truck, right?
Yeah.
So she's got two businesses, the bistro truck and the bistro, right? And she's just going to split tomorrow. And not only that, she's just hanging out at Gray House. Wouldn't any sane woman be, I'd love to help you find this amulet. And I really hope when I get back in 6 months, you have your powers, but I got to go pack.
Yeah.
Cause like, also you have to think about everything 6 months ahead of time. Is her car registration going to be due? Does she have to renew her license? Is her passport up to date? Like all of this stuff. She's just like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. No one could do that.
Right. I mean, if you had to leave tomorrow, you're like, how am I doing Christmas gifts? Yeah. Just to mention one thing.
Yeah. If I had to leave tomorrow, I don't think Chris, how am I doing Christmas gifts are going to be up at the top of the list.
No, it's who's going to take care of my dogs.
Yeah. My poor little puppies.
My puppies are going to miss me for 6 months.
And hopefully my wife.
I'm going to Paris with you.
Oh. I see.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I can't. Not and keep my job. So.
Well, thank God we don't have to face that situation.
But we're getting a dog walker if you're going away for 6 months. I'm telling you that. So anyway. No. So there's that. And then Tom comes clean. He's getting a mitral valve replacement on Friday. She's like, you're just telling me now, but that's okay. You aren't alone. And we're in this together. We'll never drift apart like those stupid Davenports. We're Tinsdales.
Tinsdales are better.
Competitive to the end. I think we talked about everything we need to talk about, except there is a series finale.
Wait, no, no. We have not talked about everything we need to talk about.
Because of the stare?
Yes. So the dude keeps playing
the wrong notes.
The wrong notes.
Figures out the cryptics.
Yeah.
Code they open is the code the wrong thing. Notes.
And
then he plays it.
And that secret compartment in the
he plays it stairway. Without the wrong notes, and then a compartment opens in the stairway through the carpet.
Yeah. It just like it's push like, the carpet out as if it's like a drawer.
Or kinda. When they redid it, they knew there was a drawer there, so they just didn't attach the runner to that stair.
And, yeah, exactly.
But then nobody ever told Cassie, like, there may be a thing there.
Right.
Well, I mean, there's just stuff in Gray House all the time, right? It just pops up, pops open.
She finds a book in there, which leads them to the secret orb. Of
Patience's journey or something.
Yeah,
or,
the Orb of Osiris or something.
It leads her to the orb, yeah. There's a panel, of course, a hidden panel in the fireplace.
Yeah.
And you move the middle panel over and there's an orb there. And it foretells when negative energy is coming to Gray House.
Right.
Which, by the way.
By holding it up into the rays of the red haloed moon.
Right. Which is bad juju already. So big surprise, everyone. It gets dark and cloudy.
Yeah. It's like the Palantir.
Yeah. But the thing is, you do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
How come there wasn't a knock on the door? What's the negative energy? Just from the moon? Or was it an evil spirit?
No, her dead mother said visitors.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's really weird. That's unusual for them that they would do the thing that would forecast the thing. And then it wasn't like, knock, knock, knock. Oh, it's the, you know, such and such brothers. There's three of them and they're the antithesis of us. And
they find the amulet mold.
On the hope chest.
On the hope chest clasp. And then they all three of them collapse.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. And Sam didn't even know Cassie was in the room and she was just all of a sudden on the floor.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone swoons and Cassie falls over because nobody knows she's even there.
I thought she was in another room.
Oh, he went and ran and found her. Wow. I don't know, man.
So
because she was talking to her dead parents while everybody else is looking for stuff.
Exactly.
But everything's okay with the girlfriend.
Right. the girlfriend has a heart to heart with Sam, and he goes, it's strange being having a relationship with a witch.
But would you be upset if she told you she was allergic to nut allergies? Oh, well, that's different. Well, not really. Well,
yeah. They didn't ask for these powers.
That's right. So it's anyway, that's good, witch. We are anxiously awaiting the series finale.
Yes.
In my opinion. And hopefully it's not as ridiculous as some of the things that we saw tonight.
Yes.
There was a lot of ridiculousness.
It was a lot of ridiculousness happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're just going whole hog into them doing like actual magic and not this casual magic that they always did.
Right. Right.
You know, predicting whether a phone's going to ring or,
Right. Or happening to have the right. Oh, I just found these artifacts in this trunk, and maybe you need this sailor's glass. And
knowing like exactly what kind of combination of tea to give somebody to help them out and stuff like that.
Or what candle will help with communication, right? All the aromatherapy kind of stuff, herbs and tinctures.
Instead, they're going all out. They're just doing magic.
Well, they did let them light candles last week.
Yeah.
Which was just blew me away. Yeah. And called them witches this week. So right. The, you know, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
They're witches. Oh, and then there's the clue that you can see with the binoculars from across the room. If you look at those purple velvet bags.
Yeah.
That's the thing that we kind of glossed over where it said like blue morning or something like that. And so she puts on the album and you can hear the great grandmother telling her about that panel in the.
Yes.
But meanwhile, the girlfriend only hears Dolly Parton.
Right.
Singing. So it's cleverly hit more magic. Yep. Magic, magic, magic. So.
Well, we'll see what happens next week. That's same right. Witch time.
Same witch channel.
Same witch channel.
So now we're going to switch gears completely to Crashing Through the Snow with Amy Acker and Warren Christie.
Yes.
Woohoo. All right.
Maggie and Sam are crashing Christmas. When he proposes, they team up against his sister's perfect Christmas. Neither of them are prepared for the blended family challenges that lie ahead. Starring Amy Acker and Warren Christie.
That's it? Yeah. That's all they give you?
Yes. Because it's a ridiculous premise in the to begin with.
Well, yeah. So first of all, so Amy Acker and her ex-husband are raising their kids. And he has a new girlfriend who is perfect. And she is so perfect. Her father's super, super rich. And they live on an estate in Aspen. Right. And they are taking the girls for Christmas. And she does not realize until the week before Christmas that this is the first time that Maggie will be without her daughters over the holidays.
Yeah.
So she says, because she's so so nice and she wants everybody to like her, why don't you come? And if you were the ex-husband, first of all, if you were the ex-husband, would you not be like, I mean, he kind of was like, are you sure this is a good idea? Are you sure? You know, and he doesn't really say anything, but the girlfriend pushes.
Yeah.
And he, you know, allows it to persist. And she says, oh, okay, I'll come. So she shows up and doesn't realize that it's like this big estate, that the family is super rich.
Yeah.
And she is, and that that her ex-husband doesn't really get along with the father-in-law that well. Right. So there's all this stuff. And then the girlfriend has like an itinerary that is ridiculous. Laminated. Held together with a ring.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're going to have Nutcracker tea and we're going to go in a helicopter or whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just like ridiculousness. Not a helicopter because
we're going to go skiing. Else. We're going to go.
We're going to go tubing. And So she's feeling all kinds of inadequate because this woman has a lot of time, money, organization.
Right.
And she feels competition, a little bit of competition. She feels like she's being, I mean, like she is, hello, being marginalized. Yeah. And
especially your older daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. That she's feeling that she's like missing out on things with her older daughter. So she has a plan that after Christmas, she's going to allow her to get her ears pierced earlier than she said she would. She called ahead. She found a place that was going to do it. It's going to be great.
Right.
So that then she's in her room getting ready and Sam shows up and says, hey, you're in my bedroom. And he is playing almost the same exact character that he did in It's a Wonderful Time of the Year. He's this like chef from another, from another place that wants to be a chef in Colorado. So in this case, he was a chef in
Japan.
He was coming from Japan. Yeah. So he shows up pretty much with no notice and is like, you're in my room. And the family's like, you didn't tell us you were coming. Where's your sense of hospitality? You're staying in the basement.
Yeah.
Which can't be bad. Because this house is amazing.
Yeah.
So it just.
But he doesn't have the sauna in his room.
That's right. But she does.
Yeah.
As if she wouldn't let him use the sauna. Yeah. So basically, there are like a million ways. We won't go through them all. But there are a few ways that show up now and eventually a million ways in which she feels really inadequate. And this woman has it all planned. And time after time, she's brought things from home to make it more like their traditional Christmas.
Yeah, like she brings stockings. And then when they see the stockings, she says, the girlfriend goes, oh, I had... everyone has stockings. I had them handmade by this artisanal craftsman.
That's right. Quilted stockings from Arizona. And yeah. I had, when you said you were coming late, I even had one made for you, and that took some doing. And yeah. It's like, okay, that's rude. Yeah. You wouldn't tell somebody that. You'd just say, oh, and I made one. I had one made for you too, right? But they also made some comment about how, like, there were 5 or 7 mantles in the whole house. Yeah. But yet later on, the girlfriend is like arranging all of the stockings in one place. So that was pretty ridiculous. So things like that. And so Sam is like, look, when somebody said, oh, what do you do, Maggie? And she said, well, I'm a graphic designer and I do pitch decks and stuff like that. And he was like, that's when you find out he's there. He needs a pitch deck.
Right.
Because he's pitching to become the chef at the Butterfield Inn, which used to be owned by their family.
Right.
But his dad sold it. So their mother died when he was a teenager. His sister became uber responsible, dad is a little girl, and super organized.
Yeah.
And he went the other way and said, I'm out of here as soon as I can get out of here, and I'm never looking back. Except he is looking back. And he came back to pitch him being the chef at the Butterfield. So
he basically tells her, listen, you help me with the pitch deck for the Butterfield, and I will help you win Christmas.
And she's like, Christmas isn't a competition. And then one more thing happens, and she's like, Christmas is a competition. Yeah, it's on.
That's right.
So they go skiing.
Right.
And she goes skiing and gets hurt.
She can't ski.
Right. Yeah. And she's clumsy. That's like a whole big thing about how she's like a lot of pratfalls in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So other things show up along the way, like she has a huge fight with the husband because she said to the husband, is it okay with you if I tell our daughter she can get her ears pierced? And he says, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And then he goes and tells his girlfriend, and the girlfriend goes and takes her daughter to get the ears pierced. And the daughter shows up and says, oh, my God, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, you said yes or whatever. And she's like, may we have a word?
Yeah.
This is a mother-daughter thing. This is, you know, and then she said, like the other two things. Oh, I forget what they were now. Oh, watching Gilmore Girls for the first time and something else, buying a prom dress. And she was like, you tell your girlfriend, those are mine.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's what did it when she was like, this is competition. And so they go to the Butterfield and take some pictures, and he talks about his family history. And she's like, oh, that's going to be the basis of the pitch deck, which I liked that they included all that stuff, because even though he didn't do a lot of cooking, he did some, but it wasn't like, oh, this guy's here, we're just going to lay back and he's going to do all the cooking. It wasn't like one of those deals. But it was nice that they had that time together in the Butterfield Inn to talk about the history, to talk about what it was going to be. And you could tell that she's getting ideas for the pitch deck. She's taking pictures and stuff like that. And then they found some old pictures and some old ornaments. He and his sister had some kind of heart-to-heart talk about some things. Their relationship is not great. He's kind of saying, like, look, I've been in her shadow all my life. I know how to handle this.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she is thinking she's failing because she's making Amy Acker uncomfortable and stuff. And she thinks she's saying the wrong things to her and ruining her Christmas.
Right. Yeah. So she's feeling really bad and insecure.
Yeah.
And really it's just all unnecessary competition and feelings. But, you know, Amy Acker has brought that book that she's going to read the girls, and then they're all sitting there in matching pajamas. I mean, it really was over the top. Everything was over the top. And but then
they go ice skating. I just want to bring this up.
Oh, yeah.
And Amy Acker goes from being the klutz to being a great ice skater. all in the course of that time.
Yeah. Well, she helped them win, right? Because they decided they were going to be the underdogs. But meanwhile, wasn't the other one basically like a figure skater? There was like, anyway, there was a lot of that. Oh, it was their stepmother was like, we have Susan or whatever. And she was an amazing figure skater. Mm-hmm. There were good things but then she had another talk with the husband, the ex-husband. The ex-husband was like flipping out on her when, Sam wakes her up and says, we're going to get in a helicopter and we're going to go chop down a Christmas tree just for you.
Yeah.
These people who have so much money that they're going to take a helicopter instead of just calling someone and saying, please deliver a tree.
Yeah.
Okay. So they take the girls, they chop down a tree, but there was a problem with the helicopter. They were late getting back and they missed the snow tubing or whatever with the father and his girlfriend. And they have this huge fight and he's like, you're sabotaging me. And she's like, no, we just had this there. We had to wait for the people to help with the helicopter. And he's like, do you even hear what you're saying? And I'm like, how are you picking on her when you're the one marrying into this uber rich family?
Yeah.
And not only that, it comes out that he's all on edge because he's going to be proposing to this woman.
Yeah, on dinner Christmas Eve. In front of everybody.
Yeah, on Christmas Eve. And she's like, are you sure that's a good idea? And he's like, no, it's great. I can't wait. And everybody's going to love it. And she's like, what about the girls? And he's like, I asked the girls if they mind, if they wouldn't mind. Want Lauren to be, wasn't it Lauren, to be in the family. And they were great with it.
Yeah.
So... She's like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
So,
but here's the unbelievable part. Warren Christie.
The more unbelievable part.
Goes to hang out with her.
Yeah. He blows off his pitch.
He blows off his pitch meeting for the Butterfield. I'm going, there's no way. I mean, that's the reason he's there.
Not only that, how long is the pitch going to take?
Exactly.
Is it a 6-hour pitch? No. We're talking like an hour. And everything's in Aspen. Yeah. It's not like, well, we're in Aspen and it's on the other side of Colorado.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. So he blows it off. But he does that because he likes her. Number one. Number two, she's not in Aspen. Number three, he wants to do this thing that they used to do with their mom. You know, because the whole time it's also the children healing from this, like, their mother dying when they were teenagers.
Right.
And so they go to this amazing, like, Finnish sauna experience.
Yeah.
Right? It's this pool that's fed by a thermal spring. And they're going to, you know.
And it's private. They're the only ones there.
Yeah. And it's very romantic. And nothing happens.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Because... the husband, ex-husband proposes to Lauren or the fiance in front of everyone and the kid, the oldest daughter freaks out.
Yeah. And she runs away.
She runs to the St. George Hotel where for some reason she's lied and told everybody that she's getting a facial there.
Yeah.
Right. There was no reason for her to lie. She could have just said, look, I'm just not going to be around.
Yeah.
Or she could have really booked herself a facial. Where the heck was she going to go and hang out for 6 hours? Not only that, she could just stay in that house. Nobody would know she was there.
Yeah, it's a big house.
So she says, I'm going to the St. George Hotel. So her daughter runs off and goes to the St. George Hotel, and then she's not there. But of course, they have this dog's body kind of a guy, and he kind of keeps track of everybody. And so he knows where they are. He knows how to get in touch with them, calls her up. She goes to console her daughter. And then meanwhile, later on, the ex-husband's like, wow, that was a terrible idea. And she's like, I could have told you that.
Yeah.
I could have told you this wasn't going to go well.
Yep.
But they put up the tree in Maggie's room. And not only did they put their own ornaments from home, but they also put up the ornaments from when they were kids.
Right.
Sam's and his sister's ornaments. So there were a lot of, I have to say, you know, while there were a lot of ridiculous, like, you didn't have to, have it be that way. There were also a lot of touching moments in this film. And so I thought that was kind of nice that he like shows up with the box and he's like, hey, but he's also going to show up to like continue what was going on in the sauna.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, his dad has a little heart to heart with him.
And tells
that's completely
him, yeah, basically negative. Tells him, oh, you should end your relationship with her because you're a bad person and
you're just an itinerant chef and you're going to go back to Japan. And then what's going to happen to her? Because he still hasn't even told his family that he's there to pitch being the the chef at the Butterfield Inn. So weird. So weird.
So he gets cold to her because of it.
She's wearing these nice satin pajamas.
Yeah.
And who shows up at the door? Her ex-husband.
Yeah.
Awkward. One more awkward situation. And so, he's like, he just takes off. She goes looking for him. She can't find him. Oh, he's gone. You know, that kind of thing. And
then they meet up the next day.
Christmas.
And she says, what happened to you? I wear my satin jammies and all of that.
That's right.
You never showed up.
And he says, my dad told me I was a worthless piece of junk, but I decided not to listen to him. No.
Yeah.
No, he went and he pitched on Christmas morning. He pitched the Butterfield Inn.
Yeah, before the people left town.
Right. And got the job, right? Or was it just favorable conversations? He'll find out more. And he said, I decided, you know, you're way too important. I'm not going to, you know, I don't know where this is going, but I'm going with you. Like, we'll make this work or whatever. Because, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the,
nobody.
Nobody knows. I mean, are they all going to relocate to Aspen and live in that huge house?
Yeah. There's plenty of room.
So weird and in a way,
too. It is too. Professionally decorated.
It is. Every square inch.
Yeah.
That room where he's playing the billiard room.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. There's like one of those wainscoting things that's like 3/4 of the way up the wall. And on the ledge of it is a gazillion red ornament balls.
Yeah. Just one after another.
Oh my God.
All around the room.
Like pearls.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't think of anything else plot wise that we should say.
No, just they kiss.
They kiss
about their, without thinking about their uncertain futures.
That's right. They're just throwing caution to the wind.
Yep.
But I mean, she's a graphic designer. She could work anywhere. And I don't know what the ex-husband did, but they were clearly all based in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Right. So are they all gonna? I mean. Is he thinking about relocating and stuff? I mean, we left out the whole thing about how she saw the dossier on him and that's how she found out he was going to propose. Oh, he probably does a background check on everyone who, asks to marry. I'll tell you that much money. They do a background check on everyone who dates the daughter.
Yeah.
Not just the ones who ask for her hand in marriage. Man. Yeah. What did he do to get so much money?
He's a doctor.
Oh.
And I guess he inherited a lot because he inherited that inn. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, anyway.
So.
There you have it.
All right. So how do you rate it?
Who's going to rate it first?
Me? I'll rate it first.
Okay.
3.5.
Ooh. Okay.
I found it watchable.
It was watchable.
Yeah.
Warren Christie has facial hair.
So yeah, there you go.
Plus, so I know we made a big deal about that the last time.
He doesn't look goofy, so.
He looks good, and so does Amy Acker.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, and she's really, really old.
No, she's not. No, but she's 42, and in many, many, many of the scenes, she does not look a day over 35.
Yep. Yep. She's.
She's got great skin.
Yeah, she's held up.
God,
over the years,
we're gonna get some finally get some email about your sexist comments.
He's held up too. All right,
Well, that's not what I said last week, but yeah, well, he's looking better.
You just said he looks funny without facial hair.
Well, because then it makes his face look fat or weirdly shaped. I don't know. Yeah, he needs some facial hair to...
Yeah.
And did you see that? There was a promo video on Hallmark.com or whatever, and he's got a lot of facial hair in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he himself likes it. What else?
Oh boy.
Remember, we got a new DVR with lots of room on it.
I would keep this one.
I would keep it. Yeah. I was going to give it 3 stars.
Yeah.
So now you have me reconsidering my 3.5.
I just thought you
said 3.5.
It was watchable and it was cute, you know.
Right. I think I was a little more annoyed by some of the things.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that people who are divorced and have children can be friends. Like, do you know what I mean? I didn't find that unbelievable.
Right.
I didn't find it unbelievable that he was like in love with this woman. She's super nice. We've seen she's the lead in a couple other movies.
Yeah.
Like The Christmas Cure. Right. Mm-hmm. And that one about the friends Christmas, the friendsmas.
Yeah.
That is really annoying. But she is good. She, you know, it was like.
Of course, her famous role, most famous of all the roles, is with that DJ.
Oh, yeah. The 12 Dates of Christmas.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Was it?
Or gifts?
12. No, days.
Days of Christmas? Yeah, maybe.
Because isn't the 12 Dates of Christmas now the one with the Irish woman? Who's not Irish?
She's not Irish. She's
Australian.
From New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Yeah.
And our friend Tyler Hines.
Or Australian. I think she's Australian.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, the recent one with the app and the scavenger hunt in Chicago. So that I thought was the 12 Dates of Christmas. But then so I thought the other thing was like 12 Days of Christmas. Whatever.
Yeah.
With Mitch the DJ and how she's gonna help him find his Christmas spirit. Yeah. It's like a When Harry Met Sally, only Christmas style.
I'm not hearing a keep and delete coming.
Oh, well, keep. I mean, 3 is pretty high for a Christmas movie. In July, Christmas and July movie. I thought it was actually really decent. So that's why I was like, should it be 3.5? We'll just stick.
Yeah. All right. Well.
And keep it. But I have to say, I like Amy Acker. She seemed to have some chemistry with that Warren Christie.
Yeah.
And she's great. I mean, they should definitely have her in one movie a year. So I'm glad there's this, but I'm kind of hoping there's another one in December or October. Starts in October. And we may not do a show next week, but we may do it July 31st. There's another Summer Nights movie coming out, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll probably talk about the series finale of Good Witch and that movie in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if you want to drop us a line, you could send an email to marksthespotmail@gmail.com.
Right.
And you could tell us what you think.
Whether you like it, whether you don't.
Whether you're looking forward to Summer Nights coming back, which you wish Christmas in July could last forever.
Yeah, Summer Nights is coming back, though.
Tell me if you used your Christmas mugs during Christmas in July. Tell me if you don't even put your Christmas mugs away. These are all important things to share.
Some of us have a holiday doormat that's been at the front of our door for almost 2 years now.
That's right. Well, I figured we would keep it until August since we had it for so long. I mean, the pandemic kind of like time stood still. So.
Right. And when August comes, you said, well, it's almost October.
That's right. I mean, nobody saw it during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But it's 'tis the season for a long time.
Yep.
So, yeah. But I did use my Santa mug the other day.
Yes, she did.
It was, I hope everybody saw it on Zoom.
Who would see? Oh, you mean for work?
Yeah.
Okay. Saying who's see? I'm not recording on Zoom now.
Yeah, no.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Well, that's all we have for this week. And we hope you have a good couple weeks. We'll talk to you in August.
Right.
Yeah. Take care, everyone.